If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Morning, everyone. We are the Junkies. Welcome to the show. Starting the show a little differently this morning in honor of our good friend John Feinstein, who sadly passed away yesterday, which caught everybody by surprise. Should mention, Jason Bishop is back in studio.
What's up?
Back from his vacation.
Welcome.
Cakes is here. EB was here momentarily, but he has a flight right after the show and he forgot his phone, so he is turned around. And he's going to go fetch his phone, so he should be back a little bit later in the show.
Yep.
We're going to try and do some regular show. We have Will Dawkins, the Wizards GM. They beat the Pistons last night.
That's kind of shocking.
Alex Saar had a sick block on Cade Cunningham, so we can talk to him about the rookie's progress. Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post will join us. And Michael Wilbon to give us their perspective on the passing of John Feinstein, which we'll touch on shortly here in this segment. We will do a tribute at 8 o'clock, which
is normal time.
For 13 years was John Feinstein's time on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know your perspective on Feinstein on the show. I didn't realize we had had him on the show for 13 years. But I remember thinking when he first started coming on, I bet this guy doesn't really like us. Because we were different than him, who worked really hard and was a true journalist and wrote these books. And we were just four goofball friends who got a popular show. But I think by the end, he liked us and we had a great rapport with him. And it's just sad. I feel really sad for his daughter the most. I mean, I know he has kids, family, but the youngest daughter, Jane.
He was living with his son down in at Longwood,
correct? It had been for, I think, like at least almost a year at this point, maybe a little bit longer. But yeah, that news just came out. You know, it was like a lightning bolt yesterday. We got that text yesterday afternoon. And I mean, I'll be honest. I'm still just dealing with trying to process Pete Medhurst passing. Like, we just went to his memorial service like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And now we get this terrible news that John passes at 69. I mean, didn't even make it to 70. Like, it's just depressing. It just sucks.
Yeah, I was very surprised when I saw the text.
Yeah.
As everyone was.
Right.
It's not something that you are used to seeing. And, of course, after what happened with Pete, well, we knew Pete was sick. We knew it was going downhill pretty quickly. But, you know, that was just, what, a month ago? And now John, who we've had, I didn't realize it was 13 years either. But, I remember when, before we had John on the show, wasn't there an interaction between, I think Eric and I were at a Maryland Hoops game.
Okay.
That's the very early years. This was like maybe when we were a weekend show.
Yeah, was that with Kornheiser and Feinstein?
Kornheiser and Feinstein.
Okay, with both. Okay.
And we were, you know, Eric and I were there as media members.
Right.
And we walked through the locker room after the game. And Kornheiser and Feinstein were talking together, and we walked by them. Now, you know, we're just fans. We're not. We didn't think of ourselves as media members,
right?
But
and at that point, you're probably 25 or 26 years old.
Yeah, we were very young, mid 20s, And I remember, I know I was wearing jeans, and I assume Bickle was too.
Yeah. That's being dressed up for you guys, actually. It was. I mean, surprising you weren't wearing sweatpants.
And I can't remember what the actual quote was, but, and I think it was Feinstein. When we walked by him, one of them said, "Who let these idiots in the locker room?" Now, I'm paraphrasing. Right. I don't know if he said idiots or knuckleheads or clowns or what word he used. But so then Eric and I despised Feinstein.
Yeah.
We didn't like him.
And I think Cakes and I adopted that based on that interaction. Like,
yeah.
You know.
And we would talk smack about Feinstein on the air. And then when we finally got him on the show, yeah, you're right. I mean, he turned into be a good dude, and we liked him, and he liked us, and that was just Feinstein being a smartass. Right. That's the way he and Kornheiser are. But that's it was sad text that we received yesterday.
I'll tell you this about Feinstein: I first kind of got to know him not so much from the books, because I'm not really an avid reader, even sports books. Although I did read A Good Walk Spoiled for some reason.
It is sad that I probably have a dozen of his books at my house, and I think I've only read one or two of them. Like, I feel like a jerk for having all of his books. I feel like I need to dig into them more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I should be reading all of his works.
Well, his accomplishments are incredible, but the first thing that I remember him from is The Sports Reporters.
Right.
Yeah.
The Sports Reporters was kind of ahead of its time on ESPN, where it was a lot of Washington Post guys. It was Tony Kornheiser, Michael Wilbon, who's going to join us at 9 o'clock, John Feinstein. I remember Bill Conlon, Mitch Albom, Bob Ryan, and they would rotate. And that's really what we modeled the Sports Junkies on our cable access show. He was a pioneer.
He was freaking prolific. I mean, how many books he cranked out during his career? I mean, the guy was a grinder. Like,
he was.
He was net, like, at least through the time he was on this show, he was never not working on at least one project. Like, he might have been writing a regular sports book along with his kids' series of books that was wildly popular.
Yep.
Like, that dude was grinding.
He did
24/7.
Yep.
We've got some audio from PTI.
Mm-hmm.
What Michael Wilbon said about his colleague for many, many years at the Washington Post. And I think that we could relate to what Wilbon said on PTI. Here's Mike Wilbon.
Right. A melancholy trails to John Feinstein, who died suddenly today at the age of 69. John was one of the most successful and consequential sports writers of the last 50 years, with bestsellers like A Season on the Brink and A Good Walk Spoiled. He was also a columnist at the Washington Post, where Tony and I were colleagues along with him for decades. He was a summer intern immediately before me. After his three children, the great love of John's life was Duke basketball. After that, ACC basketball. After that, college basketball and golf. It's sadly poetic that John died at the gateway to March Madness and the first day of the Players, since covering golf was his other great obsession. He was a complicated man, brimming with opinions, and anyone who knew John held an opinion about him.
You know, going to school here, college basketball. So Michael Wilbon is covering Georgetown. Sally Jenkins is covering Maryland. I got John Feinstein constantly writing about college basketball. And I loved Season on the Brink. What an unbelievable book about Bobby Knight.
People should pick it up and read it. I've known John since I was 20. I was an intern the summer after he was an intern. And so my life was very much directed by my relationships with John Feinstein and Anthony Kornheiser.
Yeah.
And so you look at that all these years later, and it's hard to put in the, and we just get this word about John suddenly passing away this morning. And the coaches, everybody's calling each other in the industry to tell stories about John. And again, they're complicated, because he could be the most charming guy in the room and the guy you wanted to throw out the room, but he was always a compelling figure. We are running out of show. Could talk about John forever. Let's go to the...
I think he nailed it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Because that happened on our show frequently.
Sure.
Yeah, we would get
you'd love
it.
Him, and then you'd hate him people in the same
spar
moment.
With him. He would spar with people, and that was part of what made him a great radio guest.
Yeah, I mean,
I
had friends who would tell me I look forward to the Feinstein segment every single week.
Right.
Then I'd have friends say, when he comes on, I just turn it off.
Yeah, he's polarizing.
He's polarizing. He's stubborn, and, you know, maybe he died of stubbornness. I don't know, but he was that type of person. But when you start, when you talk to someone for so long every week, and I would talk to him about a lot of things like during the week, either in, on the phone or an email. He wasn't a big texter. He was an emailer.
I'll be honest. I never contacted him via text or email. Like, my only interaction with him was either on this show or I met him in person a couple times, like a handful of times.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
always very nice and gracious when we met in person. But I didn't have like a, I'm going to text John Feinstein, like relationship
well, I went to his house.
With him.
I went to his house in Potomac okay. because either a friend or a relative wanted his book signed for
okay.
him. So I asked him, I said, would you sign my, you know, my uncle's book?
Yeah.
And he said, of course, come by the house.
Sure.
Went by the house, hung out with him for a little bit.
Very nice.
I'm not sure he was, I don't know who was in, I don't know, he sold that house.
Right.
Because then he moved. But I'm not sure. I don't think his ex-wife was in that house.
Right.
But, so yeah, I went to his house at least once.
My personal interaction with him was he actually wrote a testimonial for Still Barking.
Ah, very good.
Which I remember when I was in the editing process and working with my guy, Dennis Tuttle, because I had done the draft and then it was editing and then it was figuring out the cover and all those sort of things. He made a point of, we had to figure out which of the testimonials, because I had about 15 to 20, we were going to put on the back cover. And ultimately, he was like, you got to put John's testimonial on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had about 20. All of them were really good.
Yeah, I mean.
But John was one of the four that I put on the back.
Yeah, he's got to make the cut. I mean, like Wilbon said, he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, sports writer of the last 50 years. Like, you got, if that guy says something good about your book, you're putting that on your book.
Yeah.
I mean, it would make all the sense in the world.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So it just sucks. I mean, we got that news yesterday afternoon, and we were all rocked by it. Everybody at the station was rocked by it. And we'll go into further detail with more of a tribute at 8.
8 o'clock will be the tribute. We've got Barry Zwillinger from the Washington Post, as I mentioned earlier. Mike Wilbon will join us at 9. Plus, we will do some of the regular show. Will Dawkins will join us here as we talk a little Wizards as the season winds down. And the rookies are playing some good ball, and they got a nice win last night. So we can talk to Will Dawkins about that. As always, if you want to get in touch with us, you can call us at 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies, and we'll be right
back. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Back. Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop and Johnny Cake Sawville, running the three-man show until EB comes back, because it should be a four-man show, yeah. But he left his phone, he's got a flight, he was in a panic, he turned around to get his phone.
I understand the forgetting your phone and or wallet panic, because yeah. I was out at dinner a couple nights ago, and I walked in from the car into the restaurant, and then after sitting for 10 minutes, I had my phone, but I didn't have my wallet. And I was in just a full-blown panic, even though I was 99% sure it was in, like, the slot next to, the driver's seat door.
Right.
And I knew it, but I had to go out and make sure that I had it. Because you don't want to be out without your phone, keys, and wallet. All three of those. Those are the critical pieces that you always bring with you. So I understand the panic, especially because he's going on a trip.
Well, and I'm just surprised that out of everyone I know,
yeah,
he would be the last. I know he forgets a lot of things, but he would be the last guy I would predict to forget his phone at home.
Correct.
He would be the last guy.
I agree with you, but
he would forget his computer.
Here's the great equalizer. The morning just fog brain. You're just doing your thing, you forget about it, you get in the car, and then before you realize it, you're halfway to work and you've forgotten your phone.
Right.
He probably didn't realize it until he got here.
Probably when he was parking.
Right.
Gathering all the stuff up, yeah, looking for your phone. Oh, exactly. My God, I forgot my phone. It's at home.
So I understand the panic.
I think there's a chance, though, it could be in his backpack. Knowing EB.
Search his backpack.
Yeah, you get in a panic and then you freak out and they're like, oh, it was right there the whole time. Oh,
he'd be so salty if he drove all the way home and had an extra leg to his commute.
You'd enjoy it, though.
I mean, it would kind of make me laugh.
You know what? That's so embarrassing. He'd probably lie about it.
Yeah, he would have to.
It was on his desk or something.
You would just have to lie. You just have to make it up.
I'm calling it right now.
You're calling his phone?
When he does come back,
it's probably on silent.
Yeah. We can't get into the details of the movie itself, but three of us, EB, Cakes, and myself, we saw a movie last night together,
yes,
called Warfare.
Right.
We had different experiences.
Went to a media screening,
yes,
of it last night in Silver Spring.
Yes. You'll want to hear what happened with EB.
I'm not surprised.
So we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by anything that happens.
And remember, 8 o'clock, we have our tribute to John Feinstein. We're going to play some best of clips of John. We touched on it at the very top of the show. Sad day for all of us. 13 years he was a contributor on this show. That's almost half the life of the show.
Yeah, that's a long run.
Yeah.
13 years with John contributing, giving his perspective, his insight, all the great stories. So he will be missed. We'll have the tribute coming up at 8 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. Mm-hmm. Why don't we get into the Junkie Sports Page with Bish Bucks back? I'm guessing a lot of college hoops.
Well, I mean, it's one of the best times of the year.
Yep, and the Sports Page brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies. You get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great.
I love conference tournament play because there's so many games.
Right. It's just a plethora.
I mean, until you get whittled down to championships on Saturday and Sunday. But when you have games, you know, starting last week, but then this week you got games on Tuesday starting at 11:30. You know, Wednesday starting at 11:30. Today, games are starting at 11:30. I just love conference play, man. I really do.
You love updating your brackets manually. I see them right in front of you, right in front of your two computers.
Yep. And, you know, locally, obviously what American U did, winning their conference, regular season conference, and then winning the conference tournament for Dwayne Simpkins, unbelievable job in year two.
Will they be a first four team, or do you think a 15 or 16 seed?
I think they'll either, well, they're definitely going to be at least a 16. So I'm going to guess they might have the play in Dayton. I hope not. I hope that they can play on Thursday or Friday. But my guess is, I don't know how the Patriot League is handled by the committee, but my guess is they'll either be in the first four or a 16 seed. Yeah, that's my guess.
But hey, congratulations to him. That's his second season, right?
Second season, and he gets to the tournament. Unbelievable win over Navy at home at Bender. And that was just really fun to watch. That was a team, Navy, who had swept AU during the regular season and beat them pretty badly both times.
It's what happens sometimes in the tournament. You know, we were talking about Cakes' alma mater. I happened to watch some of Towson, who was the one seed in their tournament, and then they got knocked off by a 12 seed.
Yep.
Happens.
It happens. And that's another beautiful thing about conference tournaments. It's you just can't predict some of this stuff.
I can't believe the Navy guard punched that kid in the balls.
Such an idiot.
Like, what was he doing?
That seems very out of character for a Navy player.
It just tipped off.
One of his best players, Ed DeCellis, one of his best players, starting two guard, running down the court, and one of AU's players kind of bumps him. And he turns around and he just punches him right in the nuts. Yeah. Ejected. I mean, flagrant two.
That's
done.
That's very unsportsmanlike.
What are you doing, young man?
Very uncharacteristic of a midshipman.
The way AU just destroyed him, I don't know if it would have made a difference, but that's just the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I told Simp that. I was like, dude, what is this kid doing? He's like, I don't know, man. Bad decision on his part. Huge game tonight at 5 here in D.C. between George Washington and George Mason. All right, this is a quarterfinal of the A-10 tournament. GW beat Fordham yesterday by 5 or 6. Adrian Autry's son, Trey Autry, played great. Mason's been one of the best teams in the conference all year. VCU won the conference regular season, and they're the one seed, but Mason and GW play for a chance to get into the semis. Chris Caputo, a friend of ours. Mm-hmm. Tony Skin, a friend of ours.
Yeah, who are you rooting for here? You have to be conflicted.
I've known Caputo longer. I've known him for a while.
So Caputo, the answer is I'm
going to root for G-Dub.
Slightly lean towards the G-Dub, okay.
But I do love Tony Skin.
Yeah.
I love that dude. But I just don't know him.
Doing a great job at Mason.
I mean, I've only met him twice.
Right.
The one time we met him when he came in studio years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we had him in studio this year. So this is a big game. This game, I believe, starts around 5. Mason and GW. So a lot of local, you know, connections and angles. Here's another connection, local connection. In the Southland, McNeese State beat Lamar for the conference championship. So they get the automatic qualifier. McNeese State, of course, coached by Will Wade, who used to be at VCU, was at LSU, got fired from LSU.
Guys, well-traveled. That guy's been all over the place.
Well, he had scandal attached to his
scandal.
Name.
Yeah. Illegal recruiting and you know, talking about paying players, that type of stuff. But he's a great coach. Goes to McNeese. He's been to the tournament, I think, back-to-back years. McNeese State's athletic director went to DeMatha, played basketball. He's a little younger than me. Heath Schroyer. And who knows? There's talk that Will Wade might be bouncing to a bigger school.
Right.
Like if Texas doesn't make the tournament this year and they fire Rodney Terry.
Yeah.
That's
got to be a guy that loves NIL. Will Wade loves it. He was doing NIL long before NIL was a thing.
Yeah. He's ahead of the curve.
He's not the only one, but he certainly was a guy who was trying to cut the corners.
Of course.
Years ago.
Well, look, there was a ton of college coaches doing that.
That's what I said.
He just happened to get caught.
Yeah.
So we're going to have Will Dawkins on the show coming up an hour, the GM of the Washington Wizards. And we talked all year, poop for Poop for Coop.
Yep.
Cooper Flagg, the number one player. Fill me in on the scare, because Cooper Flagg was in action yesterday, and I think he left the court in a wheelchair.
Yeah, he definitely tweaked.
It's not good.
Tweaked his ankle.
Well, it looked bad. It looked real bad. Going up for a rebound, coming down on, you know, kind of another connection here.
DeMatha connection. All right.
Gerard Mustaf, who I played high school hoops with at DeMatha,
yep.
Number one pick of the Knicks back in the day. His son plays for Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm. Jaden.
Yep. And he came down on his ankle. It looked really bad.
I don't like even hearing that description.
Yep.
Just hearing it makes me borderline queasy.
We always heard about the Sports Illustrated curse. Is this the ESPN.com curse? Because I don't know if you saw it. There was a huge article about Cooper Flagg yesterday is when I saw it on ESPN.com. Mm-hmm. And it was about, you know, him playing when he was 11 and 12 years old and being this gangly kid, but just dunking on people and talking about kind of the greatness of Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
And then that day he gets hurt.
Dr. Cakes would advise Cooper Flagg, former future Washington Wizard, to sit out the NCAA tournament just to be safe. That's what Dr. Cakes would
prescribe. Well, I think he's certainly going to sit out tonight's game against Carolina. We'll see how it goes if they win, and they'll play the winner of the Louisville-Clemson game. He may not play, even if they win tonight, he may not play in the championship. There's no point, really. I mean, it would be nice for him to play in the ACC championship, but you don't have to.
I don't want to rush him back to the court, Chase.
They're going to be a one seed.
I need him fresh for next season in the NBA. I couldn't care less whether he wins a title at Duke.
Oh, I know you don't care.
I would actually root against him winning a title.
The only problem is he cares.
I understand that he cares.
If he can go, he's going to go in the NCAA tournament. Maybe he sits out round one against a 16 seed. But
I wouldn't advise
it. Play.
Don't push it, Cooper. Keep that ankle ready for the Wiz.
So that was a big.
But if he doesn't land on the Wiz, because they have a very small percent chance of actually nabbing the number one pick, you're not going to care about him.
You're correct. If I know that he's not going to go to the Wiz, he can play all he wants on his bum ankle.
Right. If you know,
but if I know that he's
if he's a future Blazer,
then
you
don't care
at all.
But if I know he's earmarked to come here and be our guy for the next decade and be like a franchise cornerstone, let's take it nice and easy on that ankle, Coop. Keep that thing elevated. Ice it.
Getting back to the GW situation, Chris Caputo, who we talked about. I didn't know this, but Drabby, you just talked in my ear about him talking about the Washington Post. What happened?
Well, after the game, I think it wasn't mean-spirited, and he talked about John for a while. He said some very nice things about John, but he said, "Let's go, Mr. Bezos. Maryland is good. Mason is good. We're good. American is headed to the tournament. Georgetown is coming back. Let's get the coverage of college basketball back to this historically great college basketball area."
Mm.
You think Jeff Bezos has ever watched a college hoops game?
Well, I mean,
yes.
Oh, I'm sure he has.
He probably doesn't know much.
But I don't think he's the sports editor that really is worrying about the exact content day to day.
No, of course he's not.
Well, I mean, he's just saying in general, Washington Post
needs
to sink more into covering the local teams.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, you're going to have possibly George Mason or GW in. You're going to have Maryland in. Mm-hmm. They're a lock. Americans in. Who am I missing? I'm missing another local?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. But, yeah, I mean, you could have at least three teams in.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you consider the, you know, they're not really local, the Richmond schools, but VCU could get in. But that's interesting. I might have to text old CC today, talking to him about the lack of coverage. You know what? You know where you get you know where you get college hoops coverage? Right here.
You definitely do.
Now, I think, sadly, John was in town covering the A-10 tournament.
Right.
Yeah, he was at his brother's house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was. Do we know what the cause is? Is that out there
I haven't
yet?
Heard anything.
Yeah. I mean, it was sudden, obviously. I mean, if he was here
Sounds
working.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he just published a column about Tom Izzo, like, yesterday.
Correct.
In the Post.
Yep, so very sad, and we'll get to more of that later in the show. I've got a couple guests to talk about their relationship with John Feinstein. So today you got a bunch of games starting at, I believe, 11:30. I think VCU's playing at 11:30. So if you're a college hoops fan, you got wall-to-wall college hoops today.
Does Teresa even bother, like, asking you, "Hey, Jason, do you want to go out for dinner tonight?" Like, or does she know, like, It's conference tournament time. I've got my bracket notebook ready to go. Like, I'm not doing anything today.
Well, here's the problem.
Or over the weekend.
Here's the problem. Today, we have a big party to go to. It's a baby shower party.
Oh, man.
Now, the only reason.
Hold on. It's a co-ed baby shower? Like, you're expected to go?
Yes, it's a.
What time?
5 o'clock, right when GW George Mason starts.
And the players, I mean.
The players right there.
Devastating.
Second round of the players.
Terps are at 6:30. I mean, you are SOL.
So
who's baby shower?
Trace McSorley. Of course, we're very good friends with the McSorley family.
His wife
is pregnant.
I blame Trace.
Poor timing. Yeah, poor timing.
You know what? He's not been watching Penn State, so he doesn't care.
There's been a lot of Trace stories this week. Mostly Buffalo Trace.
Yeah,
but
a lot of Trace.
We ever do a missing link, Buffalo blank McSorley.
It's a good one, yeah, because there's so many McSorleys.
The McSorleys have a great house. And we got a huge basement with a big, huge 100-inch screen, bar, everything.
Yeah.
When they're opening up gifts upstairs with all the ladies, I guarantee all the dudes are going to be downstairs. Except for Trace. Trace is going to have to be upstairs.
Are you going to text them updates?
Yeah, I'm going to text them updates.
Yeah, you should.
I feel bad for him because traditionally baby showers, the husband just shows up at the end to scoop up the presents and to give everybody kind of a hug and kiss and say, thank you. But it's supposed to be just a women-only deal.
Or, ideally, doesn't show up at all.
Yeah. No, I think you have to show up at the end.
No, I think the husband
I've
has
never
to
heard
show up.
Like, that's proper etiquette. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't remember your showers. They're so long ago.
I bet you did
the same thing. I think my mom threw one for Amy at our house.
I don't recall being there. Now, maybe.
Yeah, but you probably showed up at the end. I'm telling you, to scoop up all the presents.
I don't know if I did.
Is that shower protocol?
I think so. I think it's generally the protocol.
Even like wedding showers?
I think that's more recent. I think that's a baby shower.
Wedding shower is definitely the couples there.
Yeah, wedding shower is different.
Baby showers, maybe it's, 50-50, but but it's rare when you have a baby shower where a bunch of couples come.
Yeah. Correct. Because when we went to Pete Medhurst Memorial Service, my wife and I took separate cars because she went to a baby shower in downtown Annapolis after the service was done, and I went home. Mm-hmm. She had to carry, I do feel bad, she carried a big-ass box, like, from the parking garage to whatever, like, restaurant or bar that this baby shower was happening at. And I felt bad. I was like, maybe I should go down and carry this box for her. But I didn't. Maybe I should have.
Yeah.
But I can't recall going to baby showers. That's a bad beat for you this weekend.
Well, I'm not going to be upstairs.
I understand.
Watching them open the gifts. I'm just going to be downstairs.
I know you. You would rather be at home by yourself, of course, with nobody else around you. And all these guys that you barely know are going to be asking you about college hoops. And you're going to be on monkey tilt.
Will you bring your spiral notebook with you? With your brackets to show?
If you want to keep up to date,
you
should.
Update.
No, I do that every morning or every night.
Yeah.
But there's so much to watch today.
Mm-hmm.
But the GW Mason game is must watch for me. So I will promise you I will be in front of a TV for that.
Very good.
Coming up next, we're going to give you the latest on the Washington Commanders. They brought some guys back. There's a bet that needs to be settled. We'll tackle that next here on the Junkies.
All right.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Cakes, I know that you just had your tax appointment. Make sure that you write down for betting income for 2025, because I do know that our accountant always says, did you have any gambling income? Yeah. Make sure you put the $5 down that I just Venmo'd you for the Noah Brown bet.
I'll do that, but I always offset any wins with losses.
Yes.
So I'm good. I'm straight there. By the way, Cakes is on the heater for Washington wideout bets. Now, trust me, over the long term, I've lost way more than I've won, but I won my last two. Deami Brown definitely signed for more than $5 million, and Noah Brown re-signs with the Commanders.
The documented bets, because boasted that there was no way they were bringing back KJ Osborne, and they've decided to bring him back too.
But two things. One, it was a flippant comment. Two, there was no bet made. No bet consummated.
I said it wasn't a bet.
On KJ Osborne. Though, look, I don't hate the KJ Osborne or Noah Brown signings. Osborne is low risk. I haven't seen the money for him. I know that Noah Brown got $4.5 million and tilted Valdez that his money was so close to DeAndre Hopkins' money in Baltimore. But look, if you can get a cheap receiver like Osborne who had flashes in Minnesota and is still learning your system, and now he's going to get more opportunities with guys like Oz and Deami gone, I don't mind that signing.
EB didn't like the phrase that I used about the defense that I felt like they're running it back, but I do feel like, look, last year was 60% turnover.
Right.
This year, they're running it back with most of their guys.
Especially offensively, you look at the running back room, they're bringing all those dudes back. Yeah. Every single one of them.
Yep.
One through four.
Yep.
So, I guess they feel like if our offensive line play improves, the running back room will look better because of that. So they're definitely keeping everything together in the RB room. And
the wide receiver room, too, except for they lose Deami and they add Debo.
And Oz leaves, too. Oz signs with the Bears. He got a deal with them yesterday.
And who knows what happens with Crowder, because I don't think Crowder has signed yet.
Haven't seen any news on him yet.
I have some housekeeping I need to do for the bet book real quick.
Do I need to get my Venmo up and running?
You guys can figure it out.
All right.
On 12/31, Jaden top five in MVP voting. Cakes, yes. JP, no. That's $2.
Oh, bitter. Ooh,
should be back too.
What was he like?
Sixth, seventh.
Oh, he was close. Do I get anything for close?
No.
No, I get $2.
Did you pay the Diami Brown will sign? Okay. But there's two bets in here for that.
Okay.
Oh,
On 224, Diami will sign for $5 million per year. Cakes, yes. JP, no. That's $5.
Okay, that's a dunk for me.
And then 17, Brown will get $7 million per year. That's $5. JP, no. Cakes, yes.
Now I got shippy three.
A doubler.
Double dip.
Oh, yeah. Diami, I love you. You're my guy.
Five and seven.
Wow.
Yeah, he got 10, and he could make 12 if he hits all of his incentives.
And he got the 1 year.
It's a 1 year.
It's a 1 year deal.
The term didn't matter. It was whatever the AAV was.
And then on 226, Myles Garrett traded before start of season. I guess that's still available.
Did I say yay?
Cakes, yes. JP, no. That's $10.
Back to square one, Jason.
So I was going to ship you three, but you actually owe me seven.
Technically, he could be traded.
Wait a second. Is that traded to the Commanders or just traded?
Just traded, period.
It doesn't matter. He got massive money from the Browns. He's not going anywhere.
Technically, he still could be traded before the start of the season.
He could be, but it'd be a long shot.
It's a 1%.
All right. You owe me seven.
I owe you seven even after winning?
Even with the $2, $5 bets?
I already shipped you five.
Yeah.
I would have owed you another five, but you lost two to me. Yeah. So that's three, right?
Man, I thought
I was minus three, but then I won 10, so that's plus seven.
I thought I was going to come out Venmo positive today, Jason. It's just not looking great.
Negatory.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. All right, so I can
squash those. You got to Venmo me seven. Magically gets traded, which we know he won't. Then I'll ship you 10.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Thank you for doing the housekeeping, Valdez. It is appreciated.
Anyway. Looks like they're running back most of the guys in the receiver room, the key contributors.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Brown, when he was on the field, was really effective. He drew a lot of pass interferences. I think he drew five pass interferences when he was on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually, if you look at the rankings for guys that drew pass interferences, he was amongst the leaders, even though he missed so many games.
And, of course, he caught the Hail Mary. He caught the most important pass of the season.
Caught the Hail Mary. Daniels. So I think Noah Brown was a good signing.
I was a little surprised that they didn't make – now, look, they can still add guys, and they probably will, but I was a little surprised they didn't add more free agent pieces on the offensive side. Defensive side, they did. I mean,
Tunsil is just a monster addition.
It's a monster addition, yeah. And I know they give up a lot to get him, but they figure they got a top five offensive tackle. And then Debo, you didn't give up much for him, and I think he's going to have a big year. I just was a little surprised they didn't add to more of the either the line or maybe receivers, maybe a running back. They brought back two tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
On defense, Kinlaw was the big addition to the defensive line. Mm-hmm. You knew him from San Francisco. Was he underwhelming?
You're a
Niners fan.
Well, yeah, because he was never healthy.
Yeah, he tore his ACL out there, dealt with a lot of injuries.
He was there for 4 years, and he barely played for 2 years. I don't know how many games he missed total, but I know there was 2 years where he basically never played.
Kind of the backstory on Tunsil is reports have leaked that the Commanders were really eyeing Ronnie Stanley in free agency. And they were ready to give Ronnie Stanley as much as $23, $24 million. And that Ronnie Stanley may have taken less to stay with the Ravens. So they had to shift to plan B, and that was the Tunsil deal. So that's why we didn't really know about it.
It's a pretty good plan B,
because they were eyeing for
a
free agent.
He's a premier left tackle that's just 30 years old.
Yeah.
Like, still at the peak of his game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's definitely an issue there, and the NFL is going to turn a blind eye to it, I'm sure, but it's clearly tampering between the other teams contacting Ronnie Stanley's agent before it all started. He re-signed before free agency started, and they had three pre-negotiated deals lined up.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible?
Pre-legal tampering?
That's not a thing. That's called slap on the wrist.
Just called tampering.
I'm not saying the Commander. It sounded like the three teams had deals in place.
Right.
They all do it with some sort of loophole.
Yeah.
Well, they all talk. So maybe they talk hypothetically. They say, well, hypothetically at, you know, 12 o'clock, if we were to say we would give you $45 million, would you hypothetically take it?
I just assume that that's happening with a lot of guys, a lot of teams.
But Ronnie resigned well before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a couple days, right? Yeah.
Yeah. He was definitely before, I think, even the legal tampering period. He put pen to paper.
So, look, yeah. I think that these are
or agreed.
These are terms. Good depth guys that they are bringing back. Noah Igg was a former first-round pick of the Dolphins in 2020, and he contributed this year. I don't think they count on him to be some sort of stud defensive back, but you need to fill out your roster. So they're bringing back guys that they liked, guys that contributed.
But they added two guys in the secondary, too. And they brought in Will Harris. They brought in Jonathan Jones. So they clearly thought that secondary was a position of need or a unit of need. So they added a couple guys there. And, you know, they're not done. They're going to be adding some more guys.
And we'll see if it's an upgrade with Jonathan Jones over St. Juste.
Correct. And if you count Lattimore from last year in the trade, they added three guys.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see. You know, they're still filling out the roster. By the way, still some guys that are unsigned.
Also, the more days go by and the more days that Dante Fowler Jr. isn't signed, the cheaper his price tag becomes.
It's true.
So maybe he comes back on a team-friendly deal.
Yeah.
And you got a double-digit
1 year, sack five guy. Millions, or I don't know.
Probably whatever. Something in that range, maybe a little bit more.
Yep.
Jason, are you surprised they didn't do anything on the edge? Really? I know they brought in the guy from the Patriots, but in terms of a premier guy?
I guess they just probably felt like they wanted to spend their money elsewhere, and maybe they're targeting someone in the draft. Maybe an edge rusher in the draft there in the first round. They dealt their third rounder, right? So they've got a first and a second. They've got no third.
They have a fourth.
Fourth came back.
They got a fourth in the Tunsil deal.
Yeah.
No fifth, unless I'm missing something.
No, you're correct.
So
they're missing the third and the fifth.
Yeah, so those top two picks are going to have to be, unless they trade them, which I doubt.
I think he's going to trade back on at least one of those picks.
He might, but I'm guessing they're looking at edge at one of those rounds.
Did the re-signing of Noah Brown get your blood flowing? You've been this guy who said you need splashy moves, skill position moves to get the blood flowing.
Noah Brown is, at his core, he's like a number four wideout on your team. But look, again, he's
and that's probably what he'll be here.
He's a good depth guy, and he's bigger than every other receiver on the roster, not counting Zach Ertz at tight end. Mm-hmm. Like, he actually has some size, whereas McLaurin and Debo are both sub 6 foot tall. I think Noah Brown goes 6'2 or 6'3. Like, he's a bigger target. Like, I like the dynamic that he brings. Now, is he going to go out and catch you 60 balls? No. But if he stays healthy, he can catch mid 40s, maybe tickle 50 catches. And he's a big, like, possession type receiver.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to do it, but I just know that you wanted that diatribe about the blood flowing. You wanted skill positions, and that's what you wanted them to do. This is post Debo because Debo is an addition there, but you thought that they should do something else. Would Cooper Kupp get your blood flowing a little bit?
If it's the Cooper Kupp of 3 or 4 years ago, before the ankle injuries robbed him of some of his speed and burst and separation ability, yes. But I don't know if that Cooper Kupp is still around.
But given who you have, I don't think that's what you would be looking for from Cooper Kupp. He'd be your number three.
I would at least place a call to his agent and see what the numbers would look like.
He still had 67 catches in 12 games last year.
Yeah. But I believe his separation numbers went off a cliff.
710 yards, six touchdowns, and he missed five regular season games.
He missed the first five. So he's probably still battling back from
that. Now,
then they decided, all right, we're going to go replace you with
Devonta.
If you
run through a battery of tests and the guy comes out with a pretty clean bill of health and you can get him to a pretty friendly deal for the team, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
He hasn't played more than 12 games in the last three seasons.
I want to give my young quarterback as many weapons as he needs to be successful. And he was successful in year one, but he's going to look a lot better if you're surrounding him with Debo Samuel and potentially a guy like Cooper Kupp. He's just going to have more options and more weapons.
So there's still big names out there. But like you said, each day that passes by, these numbers get a little cheaper.
Right. Now you get into the bargain shopping if you're Adam Peters, which is good.
Remember, coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll have our tribute to John Feinstein, the late, great John Feinstein. That's coming up at 8 o'clock. Will Dawkins, the Wizards GM, at 7:20. And then we got a couple of Feinstein's colleagues, including Mike Wilbon. He'll join us at 9 and Barry Svrluga at 8:25. That's all right here on The Junkies.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.